I think I forgot to welcome Jeremy's mom and dad, who are with us today, too. So they'll be here staying for the luncheon with us. So please make yourself known to them and welcome them in our midst as well. If you have your Bibles with you, we'll continue to walk through Mark chapter 1 and walk through these verses and reflect on Jesus' early ministry in the Gospel of Mark. Don't forget, it's Epiphany. It's that season of watching and waiting. It's that season of being present and paying attention to God in this season of Epiphany. There are probably many a young in the journey Christian who got knocked off the road early because of issues of prophecy and authority. I don't know what that means to you in particular, but for me, one of the images when I was journeying with Jesus during university was ending up at this house in rural southern Alberta with a prophet, a man who spoke with prophetic power and authority, and he was inviting us up for prayer and trying to heal us or trying to rebuke things, and I was trying to be open to what God was doing, but it was a little freaky. And it got a little weird when he started naming people's ability to follow God or not depending on their t-shirt color. Well, that gentleman over there in the corner is wearing black, and black is usually a symbol of blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, I've got a black t-shirt on too. Like, what about me? Maybe that's a story that hits home with you of things that make thinking Christians go, hmm. Or I have a friend who tells me of a story where he marched around a local worship building in his neighborhood with a bunch of praying people singing songs and walking around 7 times hoping it would fall down. Things that make thinking Christians, I hope, go, hmm. So today, it is with some careful movements that I move into Mark 1, into these particular verses, 21 to 28. But I believe that God has a way of redeeming broken memories, or maybe even broken attempts of the people of God to be prophetic, or to be a people who are walking in the power of Jesus with authority and strength. So I pray that even as we walk through this gospel text today, we might reimagine what God might be doing, and we might even use what some might call a prophetic imagination to see and respond to what God might call us to do as his people, so that we might be a prophetic people, a people who walk with power and authority, speaking to the schemes and the ways of the evil one, and disarming him and his minions in the name of Christ. Last week, we looked at the first response of the original four disciples, Andrew, Simon, John, and James. We talked about net leaving discipleship. And today, we read of Jesus, one of his first records of public ministry. And it's a scene of amazement and miracles. If you've got your Bibles open, verses 21 and 22, the main verse there I want to look at for a few moments is, they were astounded at his teaching. When was the last time you were astounded by someone's teaching? Oh, last week, Ryan, when you No. No, really. When was the last time you were in a Bible study, or you were studying the scriptures on your own, or you were with a group of believers, and you were astounded by the teaching? I want you to just hold that question in your mind. Now, the Pharisees and the scribes were pretty brilliant teachers, but we get the feeling from this story that the teachings of Jesus were unlike that of the Pharisees. And when I talk about Pharisees, or when I talk about our tendency as Christians to be like Pharisees, I like to use the term rule keeper versus people keeper. And often the Pharisees were thought of as rule keepers versus people keepers. Now, the Pharisees were always getting blasted by Jesus for this rule keeping. And I used to shake my fingers at the Pharisees thinking, oh, those dirty Pharisees. But as I've grown and continued to walk with the people of God and with people who try to be the church, I realize that we're the ones with the biggest propensity to be Pharisees. And we're all guilty of being rule keepers instead of people keepers at different points. It doesn't matter where we find ourselves on the spectrum of the Protestant evangelical church in Canada. We get caught up with issues or theological stances or the colors of curtains and think that that's more important than people keeping. Now, I'm not proposing anarchy here, and it seems that every organization needs some structure, but when the organization gets in the way of this organic being of the people of God, then Jesus seems to get pretty miffed. And while he gives a lot of grace to outsiders, he likes to blast us religious people. So as brilliant, as educated as the Pharisees were, they seemed to be talking a lot of talk and keeping a lot of rules, but they weren't astounding the masses in the synagogue. But Jesus is. And though we don't know the actual content of his teaching during this particular part of the story in Mark 1, there seems to be this theme when we read through the Gospels, that Jesus is always teaching that what God demands of us goes far beyond the teaching of the law, and that the traditional interpretation of the commandments is inadequate. So that's a real challenge for us, to be this people of God in Edmonton who would be known as a people who astound our unbelieving, skeptical world with teachings, and more than that, of living out these teachings that our amazing Savior and Lord leads us in. So our prayer today ought to be, astound us. I usually don't play around with Greek words, but I found this Greek word for astonishment, and it's ekplesomai, which, if you interpret it, could be blown out of their minds. So neat image, right? That these people were astonished. Their minds were being blown out or shifted or jarred because of the teachings and presence of Christ. Lord, astound us. Sounds like a great hymn, doesn't it? Astound us, O Lord. Ekplesomai. And spare us from boring ourselves to death. Hear our cry and astound us, O Lord. Life lulls us into places of ho-humness instead of astonishment, doesn't it? And even church life does that, right? We come here week after week, and maybe we come not waiting to be astounded. And yet God is willing to astound us again and again and again. I wish we had time to share and just maybe have an astound-a-thon where people could stand up and say, here's how God astounded me this week or this month or this year or last year. But I'll give you that opportunity to maybe share around the lunch table or share during the luncheon today. And astonishment doesn't always need to be these big mountaintop experiences. I went with a colleague to Providence Retreat Center earlier in the week, and I was astounded when I was in the chapel, and there's this beautiful statue of Mary holding Christ in her arms. Have any of you seen that statue at Providence? Some of you are nodding your heads, yes. And I was astounded, and just to sit silent before that. And for those of you who have issues with Mary, I say, just lighten up. Let the art speak. Let the beauty speak. Let the sacrifice of Jesus being put into some shape and image that you can look at astonish you. This is an incredible story, a Christ who died for all humanity. This is our suffering Savior, a story of love, mercy, and sacrifice. How have we been astounded by God this week? Well, as we move through the second part of this morning's text, let's talk about waking up to the realities. As we're being astounded by God, let's talk about waking up to the realities of the spiritual world that we live in. Verses 23 to 26, the unclean spirit came out of this unclean man. And there's differing views on what's going on when we read about demon possession in the Gospels, and I'm sure I'm not going to radically convince you of one way or the other this morning, but I'd like us to affirm that we live in a world that's physical and spiritual, and that there are spiritual forces at work in the world. There is good, there is evil, and for the Jewish people in this culture, there would be a more easy acknowledgement and understanding of the presence of this unclean, demon-possessed man in the synagogue. This story wouldn't be as out of ordinary as it is to us as North Americans. And I don't want us to get too otherworldly, but I do want us to recognize that there is an evil one. And we're not going to start looking for demons behind every bad pizza experience. But when you read the whole story of God, First Testament, Second Testament, we read of angels, we read of evil, we read of light, we read of darkness. These are a part of the Judeo-Christian story. They're a part of our story. And as we reflect on these verses, even this morning, I want us to wake up and be open to what God is saying us to us. And though we might not meet demon-possessed people this week, though some of you may work with these people, I would venture to say that we will enter places of bondage this week where people need to hear words of freedom. Or we might venture into places of sickness and suffering this week where people need to hear words of hope and healing. Or we might enter places of division this week where people need to be urged to turn their swords into plowshares. And so the so what for us as the people of God this week is, if Christ lives in us, let's pray that we would be a people who speak truth in love with authority that comes not from ourselves, but from a God who through the presence of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit speaks through us. Words of truth balanced with words of love. Or let's be a people who work hard to pursue unity in a world and culture that's bent on division. You might be new to First Baptist Church, and I want to let you know that God's been settling in a new season here over the past several months. And in the midst of all these good things that God has been stirring up and resettling in our midst, we need to recognize that there's an enemy. That we don't just move la-di-da in this world being nice people. But there's an enemy who in the midst of unity and grace and a posture of humility wants to screw things up. And so the weapons of our warfare are prayer, outdoing each other in goodness and grace and mercy, cultivating conversations instead of bitterness. This is what it means to be a people who break down the schemes and the plans of the evil one. Ephesians 4 captured my heart this week. Ephesians 4, verse 25. I won't read all the verses, but the heading in the NRSV Bible is Rules for the New Life. And if we are going to be any sense of rule keepers here at First, let this be the rules for us. So then, putting away falsehood, let us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. This is verse 25. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Verse 29, let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Let's be those kind of people who do spiritual warfare in that manner. Let's be a people who speak prophetically to one another with words of encouragement and kindness and grace and tender mercy. Let's be a people who, as Bruce Coburn, the great theologian, wrote, kick back the darkness until it bleeds daylight. I was thinking of Roberta coming. Is Roberta here this morning? Of course she doesn't want me to embarrass her, but there were 20 of us at Roberta's house on Thursday night. And Roberta knows how to kick back the darkness by inviting people into her home, this warm home, this great meal. Her neighbors were there. Us young adults were there. We were just hanging out, laughing, eating, rejoicing in the generosity and kindness of God. And Roberta was an ambassador of that kindness to us this week. As we close with prayer, let us just take some time to respond. And I'll just give you two challenges during our 2 minutes of silence. Number one is, allow God to astonish you today. Look for ways where God is astonishing you. Maybe it's portions of today's service. Maybe it's as we gather at the table, you'll have this reawakening of astonishment of Christ's gift and his sacrifice for you. Or maybe as we're eating chili, you will be astonished by some God story that you hear. Allow God to astonish you. That's the first challenge. The second one is pray. Pray that God would empower us to continue to unite against the oppressive plans, the divisive plans of the evil one. God, help us to be this people who pray in that way. I was made aware of a movie this week called Pray the Devil Back to Hell, a movie documentary. It was just released in 2008, so it's not on DVD yet, but it's about Christian and Muslim women uniting together in Liberia in 2003, who decided to fight and pray and stand up against the murderers and the corruptions in their government. And it worked. And if you know that story, I just got acquainted with that story this week. It blew my mind. These women uniting, putting religious differences aside, and praying the devil back to hell. Let's be a people that pray the devil back to hell because of our willingness to outdo each other in acts of mercy, kindness, grace, and love and compassion. Being these ambassadors of light and love and hope that we've talked about over the past several months. So two simple challenges. One, let God astonish you. Kind of an individual challenge. And then maybe more as a corporate challenge, God, help us to be these people. We pray the devil back to hell for the glory of God. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we pray that you would astonish us anew today. We don't even know what lays ahead for us this week, but we pray that we would have those epiphany eyes and ears and hearts that would be paying attention, that would be being present to you astonishing us. And then as your people continue to bind our hearts together in prayer, that we might be this people of hope, this people of grace and mercy, this people who in the midst of our diversity say we are united in Christ. We pray this in the name of our living Messiah, Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.